a chapter we actually looked at last week as Minister Boza walked us through verses 38 through 44. And we beheld and we magnified the glory of our Savior. So this morning we'll actually go to the beginning of that chapter and we'll look at verses 1 through 6. And if you know, throughout the Gospel of John, we see the magnificence of Christ as he shines forth the light of God. But he doesn't just shine forth the light. We know that he is the light. And many people come to know who Jesus is, especially by the signs, the many signs that he does. John highlights 7 of them with the aim, the same aim, that readers may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing, those same believers may have life. But again, Jesus doesn't just give life. Brothers and sisters, Jesus, he is the life and the resurrection. He makes this very clear to all who would believe and see, as we read here in John chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sister sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Will you pray with me? Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, once again we bow before you. We take advantage of this privilege that we have to come before you and to not be cast away and to not be consumed by your holiness because of our Savior Christ. And so we thank you, Lord, and we ask now that you would bless us at this part of your service, that you will again open our eyes to see and behold, open our ears to hear and receive. Use me, God, and use my strengths, and use my weaknesses, Father, that your people may be fed, Lord. This is not a task that any of us take lightly. But, God, we trust you in this, that we will be fed, that we will be stronger, Lord, and that we will see you, and you will be glorified. And it is in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Just her and her father, a YouTube video that really isn't that popular. I'm on this video, a young girl recalls growing up with just her and her father. And she knew that her father loved her because it was her father who every morning prepared her breakfast. And it was her father who dressed her and carried her, literally carried her on his back all the way to school. And he smiled the whole way there. And she saw how her poor father, those long work nights, took their toll on him. She saw it because some days he was late. He worked late night so that he would be able to have the day off so that he could spend it with her and pick her up from school. But every now and then he'd show up late. And as he ran up to the school, sweating and panting, because he ran so fast to make up for all the time that had passed as he overslept, she just pulled away angrily and upset. But I couldn't stay mad at Father for long, she recalled. He found ways to cheer her up. And even though she was just a child, she knew that her father loved her. But as she grew older and it became harder for her to always get her way, it also became harder for her to understand why. On one occasion, they went shopping for her first school dance, and she saw a pair of red heels that caught her eye. They were $65. But he insisted wisely that they go with the pair that was less than half that price. The heel on her right shoe broke that night. And it was in moments like these where she felt as if her father failed her. She felt as if he let her down. When things didn't go her way and she didn't get her way, she felt let down. She knew he loved her, but she felt let down because she wasn't paying attention to that truth. And as she recalled, when she paid attention to that truth, the truth that she already knew, she understood better. She thought better. She was overjoyed and she was comforted. Too often we feel let down by Jesus. We don't get our way, and when things don't go the way that we think that they should go, we get upset and we act as if he doesn't love us. We forget how hard it was and how hard he worked so that we could have rest. Right? And when we forget that he carries us and he is carrying us to where it is that he's taking us to so that we don't have to walk to our destination, we forget. And we think that he has failed us. Here in our passage, John writes about a situation where Jesus' people, they feel as if he has let them down. Same story that we saw last week. Lazarus is sick. His sisters, Mary and Martha, they send a message to Jesus because they know that he's the only one who can do anything about the situation that they face. But Jesus, he does something that throws everything off completely. Right? He waits and he purposely holds off getting to Bethany until Lazarus dies. And they're probably thinking, why do we even have to go through such a rough and trying situation like this when we are friends with Jesus? Jesus, throughout this entire event, brothers and sisters, he's saying, pay attention. Right? Pay attention, Mary and Martha. Right? Disciples, Lazarus, pay attention. Church, pay attention, lest you think that I have somehow failed you and let you down. Pay attention, and by the work of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, we will see and we will understand how blessed we are to be friends of Jesus, children of God. And I think that there are at least three things that we need to pay attention to and understand in this passage so that no matter where you may be right now in life, no matter what it is that you're facing, you'll find comfort in Jesus. So the first thing that we want to pay attention to and understand is this. Jesus has an open love for his people. Now, it's one thing for a person to say that they love somebody. But if they fail to show or be open about that love, many of us will start to wonder, well, do they even love that person at all? Jesus, his love for his people wasn't something that he hid. In verse 3, Mary and Martha, they send a message to Jesus concerning their sick brother Lazarus. And when they refer to their brother in this message, they say, Lord, he whom you love is ill. And again, in verse 5, John writes, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. John can't help but mention the fact that Jesus, he loved these people. It was no secret to John. It was no secret at all. And we know this not just because of what we see being said, but we see Jesus weeping in verse 35. As we saw last week again, snorting, literally, snorting angrily and even disoriented and thrown off because of his hatred for death, but also because of his love for Lazarus. It was his love that brought him to Bethany in the first place. And Jesus expressed openly his love. And it wasn't because the recipients of his love here, right, Mary, Martha, or Lazarus, wooed him over with their charm. If you remember what John says in verse 2, it was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. And if you know that references like this in Scripture, they kind of acted as footnotes to the contemporary readers of Scripture, right? As a way to say, hey, this person was there. Right? Go check it out. But there's something else that we see and that we learn from this reference. If we look over in Luke chapter 7, we actually read about the account that John mentions here. Luke chapter 7, beginning in verse 36, we read, "One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table." Verse 37, "And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair, with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, 'If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman is this who is touching him, for she is a sinner.'" And again, skip over to verse 47. "Therefore, I tell you," Jesus said, "her sins," speaking of the woman, "which are many, are forgiven." The woman who is known in the Gospel of Luke was nothing more than a sinner. Right? That's how she's mentioned, and that's how she's portrayed. And she's none other, if we come back to John 11, than Mary of Bethany. Some have even argued that Mary, Lazarus' sister, Mary of Bethany, was Mary, or is also Mary Magdalene. And that's to be discussed, but the point is this, brothers and sisters. Mary clearly had a reputation. And we're talking Mary of Bethany, the sister of Lazarus. She had a reputation, and she was known as a sinner. For what particular sin, we aren't told. But the talk around town is that she is a sinner. Right? Maybe she doesn't go to temple as often as she should, right? Maybe she is the prostitute, right? Maybe she says things about people in private. But she, for lack of a better term, is a sinner. But all John points out over and over again is the fact that Jesus loves Mary, this Mary who Luke refers to as a sinner. And his open love for this sinner and her family isn't something that Jesus is ashamed to let be known. He loves them. Brothers and sisters, pay attention. Pay attention and see that Jesus first has a love for his people. He doesn't just tolerate us. He doesn't just like us. He loves us. Smallest of the small, right? Dumbest of the dumb. Poorest of the poor. Those with weak eyes. Like Leah, not beautiful to look at, like Rachel. He loves us. He's not ashamed of one of us. And he has displayed his love by wrapping himself in our flesh, wrapping himself in the corruptible flesh of man. And he has displayed his affection by dining with the sick and the poor. And he has displayed his love and affection because one day he will offer us up to his Father, dressed in his righteousness, standing next to him, and he will not be ashamed. Pay attention, brothers and sisters, and understand that Jesus, he loves us. Our Savior displayed his love in the fact that the Father sent him, and he willingly gave up his life. Pay attention, but also pay attention and understand that even those who Jesus openly loves experience hardships. And if Lazarus were here right now, he'd say amen. Because if you remember, it was he, Lazarus, whom the Lord loved and who was sick. And if you think about that, here's what we have. We have Lazarus, who for all of his life was a practicing Jew, right? For all of his life, he practiced Judaism. He went to the synagogue regularly. He tried to obey the law of Moses. And when he failed, he offered up the proper sacrifice. And then one day, Lazarus hears about Jesus of Nazareth. He hears that he turned water into wine. He hears about the man who was near death, who Jesus healed. He hears that Jesus fed multitudes. And one day Lazarus encounters this Jesus, that very same Jesus. And Lazarus, by the work of God, his eyes are opened. And Lazarus comes to see that Jesus is the promised Messiah spoken of in the Old Testament, and he's saved. And all is well for Lazarus, brothers and sisters, in this moment, especially, even for that week, even for that month, even for the next couple of years. But here in chapter 11, we open up and we read in John's gospel that Lazarus, elected unto salvation, loved by God, saved Lazarus, is passed out in a bed in critical condition. And we're not told exactly why he's suffering or what he's suffering from. All right, maybe he scraped his arms and it became infected. And since there weren't many antibiotics back then, none, no penicillin, his condition just got worse. Or maybe he contracted some kind of a disease, or maybe he developed some form of cancer. We're not told what and why. Here's what we do know. We know that Lazarus is saved and sick. Right? To say that he's experiencing a hardship wouldn't be enough. This is a crisis. And it gets worse. And we know it gets worse because eventually Lazarus dies. Now, some of you are here. Some of you are suffering with the diseases, with the cancer, with the sickness. Some of us are the Marthas and Marys. Some of us are suffering through the hardship of seeing a brother or a sister or a child or a mother, a loved one, suffer from the cancer, from the diseases, from the tumors, from the Alzheimer's. Some of us are suffering the hardships of a broken marriage. Houses in foreclosure. Some of us are just simply overwhelmed with life. And a thought that you struggle with day in and day out as you go through these hardships is, does Jesus really love me? Does he really love me? Saints, pay attention. Because John tells us that even those whom Jesus loved go through trials and hardships. Christ came and he bore the penalty and the guilt and the weight and the actual sin of his people. Not just so that we wouldn't catch colds. He bore our sins for a greater purpose. And let's not think for a moment that because you struggle, that Jesus, that God, doesn't love you. In verses 5 and 6, now Jesus loved Martha. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Lazarus lay in his bed until the last beat of his heart, brothers and sisters, knowing that Jesus did not show up, knowing that Jesus did not heal him. And Mary and Martha, they knew about all the miracles that Jesus did. They knew about all of the people whom Jesus had saved. He didn't even show up for them. Did he really love them? Does he really love us? Or is it that he doesn't have the power? And I would venture to say that many of us know he has the power. Brothers and sisters, that shouldn't be a question. But does he love us? Well, that must be it. See, he has power and he doesn't use it. According to our will, he must not love us. The answer to that is, oh, yes, he loves us. He loves Mary and Martha and Lazarus. He loves his people. He loved them so much that John says that when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he waited. He waited 2 days until Lazarus had died. And it must have been hard. You know, we know what it's like to wait on Jesus and he doesn't show up when you want him to. We know. But when Jesus finally arrives, as hurt as Mary and Martha were, and as upset as they were, you know what they don't say? They don't say, "Lord, you must not love us. What can I do better so that you will love me?" Because you can't love a person and allow us to go through this. They didn't say that. Instead, we read that Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." And in verse 36, while Jesus weeps, we hear the Jews standing by saying, see how much he loved him. And I think John understood how different our understanding and our definition of love is compared to the love and the omnibenevolence of an all-powerful, sovereign God. It just doesn't fit. So John sprinkles love around in these passages so that we'll get it and we'll understand that even though Jesus fails to act in a way that they see fit, it doesn't negate the fact that he loves them. He loves them. He loves his people, but his people, as we know, still hurt. So that the glory of God will be on display for those who were not friends of God, he waits 2 more days until Lazarus is sick and in the ground so that they could see that this man can give life to a rotting corpse. He must be who everybody has been saying he is. So for 2 days, he waits so that friends who are not friends can, to the glory of God, become friends, that by seeing and believing, they might have life. So that Martha and Mary could be witnesses for the great and mighty King. Not just proclaiming that he can raise their brother to life from a sickbed, but proclaiming that Jesus doesn't just raise people from the dead as Elijah did, but that Jesus was the one whom Elijah called on to raise the dead himself. He is God. He waits. He waits. He's the hope of Adam and Eve, Moses and David, you and I. Jesus is the resurrection. He is life, and he dare not give his people the cheap blessing of life, health, wealth, and joy that's temporary. Hear what I'm saying. We have a brother who has returned to us in better condition than he left on his way to the hospital. God, by his hands and through his means, he heals. But his healing goes deeper here, right? He gives us an eternity. He healed Lazarus from the sick, but that wasn't his aim. Mary and Martha asked, "Please, Lord, heal our brother." And you know what Jesus does? He waits to give them something better. He gives life to Lazarus. But it's not just mere physical life that Christ is worried about giving us. He shows his love in that he gives those who are dead in sin, as dead as Lazarus' rotting body. He gives us life eternal. He raised Lazarus, not just to die again, though he did. But do you know what the true gift that Jesus gave to Lazarus was? That moment when Lazarus encountered Jesus and he was transformed and he was saved. Brothers and sisters, pay attention. And I know that it's easier to hear this stuff said than it is to really feel it, to really feel like everything is okay when we struggle. But I pray that we hear it over and over again until it hits us that Jesus loves his people and he suffered what you and I will never have to suffer, and what we will never want to have to suffer: the wrath, the unbearable wrath of a God who is righteous. He suffered that. And for those who are loved by God, those who love him, you won't have to suffer it, brothers and sisters. He loves us. Pay attention. Pay attention and understand that Jesus has an open love for his people. But even his people whom he has an open love for face hardships and go through struggles, and will do so until the skies crack and our Lord returns. As we remember what Paul says in Romans 8:18, "For I consider that the suffering of this present time is not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." Let these hardships, brothers and sisters, cause you to understand that they serve an ultimate purpose in the plan of an all-wise, all-knowing, all-loving, all-powerful God. Pay attention. Pay attention and also understand that Jesus has an open love for his people. And even his people whom he loves go through struggles and hardships. But that those whom he loves have the privilege of seeking him for help and for comfort. Now, my favorite movie growing up, I don't know if many of you are going to agree with me, and I'm kind of excited because I'm hearing that they're making the second sequel after almost 3 decades to this movie. Okay, no, a lot of you are not going to be here with me, but my favorite movie was Ghostbusters. I knew it. It was Ghostbusters. Before Forrest Gump, if that helps. Okay. And if you remember the Ghostbusters, this was a team of paranormal exterminators. And they investigated and they captured ghosts. And a lot of people around town did not like the Ghostbusters, right? They got in a lot of trouble. And nobody really liked them until those people had a ghost problem of their own. Then they were calling the Ghostbusters, right? And if you don't know the movie, if you're not fond of it, we're fond of their slogan. Or you may know the slogan even in one of its many renditions. The slogan, "Who you gonna call? Ghostbusters." Right? Now, the thing about the Ghostbusters is that these were parapsychologists and scientists who were able to develop this high-tech equipment that allowed them to do a job that nobody else had the capability to do. So when the demand for busting ghosts went up, who do you think the people called? The Ghostbusters, right? Now, I know that the problem that we have here and our problem can't even begin to be captured by a sci-fi movie. It started in the garden, and ever since then, sin has been running amok. Right? But there was a man who had the ability to do a job that nobody else was willing or able to do. And not many people around town liked this man until their eyes were open and they saw that they actually had the problem that only he could fix. And Jesus took care of sin and death and Satan. But every now and then, we walk through death's valley. And every now and then, God's people encounter death's shadow. But even in those moments, brothers and sisters, Jesus wants us to know that he's the one who we need to call. And because he loves us, and if you're one that he does love, you can call on him. Mary and Martha, they called on Jesus because they knew that the problem that they faced was one that only he could fix. And when he arrived late, in their understanding, even when he arrived late, you see Martha and Mary clinging close to Jesus and even bowing at the feet of Jesus because they understand that their help and their comfort can only come from him. Brothers and sisters, pay attention and understand that the love of Christ, with it comes the privilege to seek him in times of hurt and when we need comfort and help. You know, on that cross, Jesus, he had nobody. The Father turned his back on him for us so that we could have accompanying us as we walk through this wilderness of struggle and strife, the triune God on our side, so that the Father could look down upon us and we could pray to him, so that the Holy Spirit could indwell us and guide us, and so that Jesus could comfort us, so that he could be here with us. Allow your trials and your struggles to do this. Right? When you face these hardships in life, don't wish that they were removed, but instead, seek that Jesus, your only help, the only one you need to call, will be there present with you as you go through these hardships, brothers and sisters. Now, he is able and more than willing to do anything and heal anyone according to his will and good purpose. But let's not let our love from him be diminished by the struggles that we face. And I know these struggles are real. And I know that they hurt. And remember that he wept because he knows our pains. He sees your frustration. He sees your struggle. He sees the stress. He's there. He's waiting. And we need to pay attention and know what we have in Christ, that the end is better than the now, and even now, he stands with us. Just wait, watch and see, pay attention and be comforted by the love of Christ. Amen.